David, you can take the food off. It's making me hungry. Amen. As many of you know, we are today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, going into our third segment of the sermon series entitled Fruitful. And I don't know, call me crazy, but to me, the first two parts have been pretty good. God has taken the messages, nothing to do with me at all, but God has taken the messages and he has had his way with them. And anytime, I don't know if you know this, but anytime that God gets involved, it changes everything. And not only does it change everything, it changes everything in a major way. Today, all over the world, churches and Christians alike are celebrating Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is the day we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem 1 week before his resurrection. And as Jesus entered the holy city, he neared the culmination of a long journey toward Golgotha. And he came to save the lost. And now was the time. This was the place to secure that salvation. Palm Sunday is marked the start of what is often called Passion Week, the final 7 days of Jesus, of his earthly ministry. Palm Sunday is the beginning of the end of Jesus' work in the earth realm. Palm Sunday began with Jesus and his disciples traveling over the Mount of Olives. And the Lord sent two disciples ahead into a village. I've always tore this name up. What is that name? Bethpage. What is that, Sonia? Help me. Bethpage, yes. And he sent them so that they could find an animal to ride. And they found the unbroken colt of a donkey. And just as Jesus said they would. And let's quickly look at that in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 29 through 30. And today I'm going to be doing a lot of reading, just a couple of, there's one passage that will be in the New Living Translation, but a lot of this will be out of the ESV. And it says, when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied on which no one, catch this, no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. When they untied the colt, the owners began to question them, and the disciples responded with the answer that Jesus had provided. And that answer was simply, the Lord has need of it. Whew. What if everybody responded to that word, the Lord has need of you? Mm. Amazingly, the owners were satisfied with that answer, and they let the disciples go. They brought the donkey to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and then put Jesus on it. As Jesus traveled towards Jerusalem, a large multitude gathered around him. And this crowd understood that Jesus was the Messiah. Mm. What they did not understand was that it wasn't time for him to set the kingdom up yet. Although Jesus had tried to tell them it wasn't the time, they just really wasn't comprehending or receiving it. The crowds asked, how many times has that happened? Jesus told you it wasn't the time, but because you had a desire, because you wanted what you wanted when you wanted it, you went on and did what you shouldn't have done anyway. Lord, have mercy. And so he's telling them this ain't the time, Lord. And the crowd's actions along the road, they they give a rise to the name Palm Sunday. And the reason for that is that a very large crowd began to spread their cloaks or their jackets or their coats on the road, while others cut branches from the trees that spread and then spread them on the road. In throwing their jackets or their cloaks on the road, the people was giving Jesus the royal treatment. In fact, in times past, when the kings was coming into town, they would do something similar to this to emphasize that royalty was on the way. And I want you to catch this because I think it's deep. In John chapter 12, verse number 13, it records the detail that the branches that cut were from palm trees. It says, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, watch this, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. On that first Palm Sunday, the people who honored Jesus verbally, they honored him verbally, and the crowds that went ahead of him and even the ones that followed behind him was shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. In fact, we find this in Matthew chapter 21, verse number 9. And what I'm doing is I'm allowing scripture to support scripture, and it's saying, or support what I'm saying. It says in Matthew chapter 21, verse number 9, and the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. In their praise of Jesus, the Jewish crowds were quoting Psalms 118, verses 25 through 26, and it acknowledged the prophecy of Christ. And so we're going to look at that real quickly in the book of Psalms, chapter 118, verses 25 through 26. We often talk about in the Old Testament, Jesus is concealed, but in the New Testament, Jesus is revealed. Now, this is a prophetic, or some would call a messianic psalm. In other words, this was a psalm that was prophesying of the coming of Jesus and what he was going to do. Oh, Lord. And so in verse number 25 through 26, verses 25 through 26, we find the psalmist saying, save us. Notice the word play. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Isn't it amazing who they're praying to for their success? Isn't it amazing who they're praying to save them? Maybe if we take a book, a page out of the book of the people of God, then when we needed to be saved from something, we wouldn't call one another. Maybe when we needed to be saved from something, we wouldn't be relying on the government. And if we are going to rely on a government, then it needs to be the government of the kingdom of God. I need you to understand, it ain't a human on the planet that can bring you out of something like Jesus. Oh, God. He says, watch the word play in 25, and I wish we could get those words a little bigger, but save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, pray, give us success. Blessed is he, O Lord, who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Now, I need you to understand that with this prophetic psalm, this drew some resentment from the religious leaders who were present at the time. And in fact, in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 39 through 40, it reads, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. However, Jesus saw no need to rebuke those who told the truth. And he replied, and this is something that is powerful we hear people talk about, but I just get excited when I see it. He replied, I tell you that if they keep quiet, then the rocks would cry out. Lord, have mercy. I don't know about nobody else in here, but God has been far too good for me for a rock to give him glory. As long as my mouth is able to open and things are able to come out, I'm going to scream hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Oh, God. I don't know. Maybe y'all ain't tapped in yet. This is the week. When he already knew what was going to happen, but he decided to ride anyway. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And what I love about it, watch this, is that he rode for me, he rode for you, he rode for us despite us. He didn't have a pick when he rode. I'm just riding. And on the strength that I'm about to take this ride, all men will be drawn unto me. Could you imagine the commotion that statement made to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests? And the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't even like each other. But how many of you understand that when you got a hater on this side of town and you got another hater on that side of town, the haters will come together just to hate on you? Baby, don't you get disappointed. Don't you get anxious. Don't you get angry. Don't you get bitter when they start to hating on you? Because he said, look, if they hate you, good, because they hated me first. Can I just go ahead and declare into the atmosphere that hatred is an indication that you're where you're supposed to be in him? I believe the ghetto theologian Nostradamus said, so you can hate me now. He said, I tell you. That's what they told Jesus. You need to go ahead and get them together. You need to correct them. You need to check them. Who do they think they are calling you Hosanna? Who do they think you are? Why are they throwing their cloaks or their jackets all over the ground so that your donkey don't get his feet dirty? Oh, God. You need to get them straight. Jesus said, I tell you. You mess around. Watch that. Y'all don't even understand the prophetic warning he put into place right there. You really don't want me to shut them up, because you think that's something. If you think humans praising me blows your mind, baby, if I shut them up and the rocks begin to cry out, then you have no reason. Oh, God, you have no choice but to say he is the Son of. No. You want them to talk, because them talk, it makes sense. But when the rocks begin to speak on my behalf, Lord, you won't be able to explain that. You already had a problem explaining the man who was at the bank of the river for 38 years, waiting for me to show up to trouble the water. You already had a problem explaining the man that was at the gate called Beautiful. And when my disciples walked by, he asked them for something. And Peter told him, listen, silver and gold I do not have, but the one thing I have, I give it to you gladly. Rise up and walk in the name of. You already got a problem explaining that. You already got a problem understanding that when blind Bartimaeus could sense me in the atmosphere, he said, hold on, son of David, I know who you are. You don't want me to tell the people to stop praising me, because you'll have to explain the rocks crying out.
Yeah. Make them shut up if you want to. Make them shut up if you want to. And you're going to see something you ain't never seen before. Oh, God, the rocks will. The rocks will cry out. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You already having problems understanding
when I took two fish and five barley loaves of bread. If you're from where I'm from, we call it Wonder Bread. You already got a problem explaining how I set them in rows of 50s to 100s, and then I broke it and blessed it, and everybody got fed with food left over. You already got a problem with me at the women with the at the well, and I had to tell her, baby, you done had five husbands, and the one you're laying up with now ain't your husband. But if you drink this water right here, I come to tell you, you'll never thirst again. If you drink this water right here, you won't ever let a man do you wrong again. If you drink this water right here, you won't let nobody call you out your name, because you know who you are. But more importantly, you know whose you are. If you drink this water, if you already had a problem explaining some things, I think you just want to let them go ahead and worship me. Oh God, Lord, have mercy. Let me go ahead and listen. It was about 450 to 500 years prior to Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem, in the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verse number 9, that the prophet Zechariah had prophesied the event we now call Palm Sunday. Here's the prophet's words. In Zechariah 9 and 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." I need you to understand, the prophecy was fulfilled in every particular, and it was indeed a time of rejoicing as Jerusalem welcomed their king. Unfortunately, the celebration was not to last. The crowds looked for a Messiah who would rescue them. Watch this politically. Does that sound like anybody today? The crowd was looking for somebody that would rescue them nationally. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But they didn't understand that Jesus had come to save them spiritually. First things first. And mankind's primary need is spiritual. It's not political, it's not cultural, it's not national salvation. And this is critical, because even today, we continue to look to Jesus for everything but the right thing. We want him to be our matchmaker. We want him to be our finance committee. We want him to be our genie in a bottle. But he is here, and only here, to be your salvation. He is here to be our savior. And what's so sad is that oftentimes, watch this, we realize that when we realize what he's here to be to us, we do just what they did all those years ago. We reject him. If you ain't gonna be what I need you to be, then why fool with you? The problem today is the problem way back then. There was a usury spirit in the air. Oh Lord, y'all missed that right there. And I need you to catch it. So since he's not what we want him to be, since he's not what we think we need him to be, because we think that's what we need him to be, don't really mean that's what we need him to be. How many times did you think you needed a new car? Lord, mercy. Wasn't nothing wrong with the car that you had. You was just tired of people pulling up to the red light with a car that lightweight looked better than yours. And all of a sudden, what God had blessed you with was now not enough. And so now you done went and got your car payment. But at least you're keeping up with the Joneses and all of them. You understand? God is so good. I love it. He says that when you don't know what to pray, just don't say nothing, because the Holy Spirit will make intercession for you. And can I just go ahead and tell some of you, with a sheep spirit, you know, the sheep ain't too bright, and I ain't dissing you, I'm just keeping it 100. But if you're rocking with a sheep spirit, and let me just go ahead and bless you and let you know, if you're rocking with a sheep spirit, it's when you do dumb things all the time, things that just don't make no sense. You understand what I'm saying to you? Sometimes we just need to learn how to get in prayer and just be quiet. You know what? I've messed my life up to the point to it don't make make no sense. I'm not even going to pray for me no more. I'm going to use the option that if I be quiet, the Holy Spirit will pray on my behalf. And it says that he begins to make intercession with moaning and groaning because the Holy Spirit knows just what I need. I've come to find out in my 53 years of living in the earth realm, I don't know too much about what it is that I need. So I stay in the Word of God so that the Word of God can tell me how I'm supposed to look at it, when I'm supposed to look at it, and what I'm supposed to do about it, and how I'm supposed to apply it to me. And on the strength that I have surrendered my thinking and I have surrendered my will to the Word of God and to the ways of God and to the will of God, watch this, I don't operate sheepish no more. I dare you tell your neighbor, no more sheeping for me. No more sheeping for me. Lord, have mercy. I need you to understand. I need you to understand that until we get to the point that God is everything. You just coming to church. And until you get to the point that God is everything, you just singing some songs. And until you get to the point that God is everything, I promise you, you just crying, you just emotional, you don't want no breakthrough, you don't want no change. But when you get to the point to where you begin to call people in your life and say, I know that I gave you demonic leadership or kingship over my life, but I just called to tell you that I'm snatching it back and I'm giving it to the one who deserves it. I'm giving it to the one who can do something with it. I've come to realize that you ain't the dog's bow wow and the cat's meow, and I'm taking power back over my life. Watch this. But I'm wise enough not to keep it myself. So when I snatch it from you, watch this, I'm giving it to who it belongs to. And God ain't gonna snatch the power from you. And some of y'all are waiting that when God gets ready to move me out of this, he'll bring me out of it. No, baby. God didn't put you in it, so why God gotta bring you out? Oh, Lord. Even, I need you to catch this, I'm almost done. Even as the multitudes of people waved the palm branches and shouted for joy, watch this, they missed the reason for Jesus' presence. They could neither see nor understand the cross. That's why as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he began to weep over it. And in fact, it says in Luke chapter 19, verses 42 through 47, and I went to the New Living Translation so I could drive it home. Watch this, he says, how I wish that all of you people understand the way to peace. Woo! I'm glad you're quiet. I'm hoping that means you're locked in. He says, watch this, he's coming in, but he knows they're expecting him for the wrong reasons. Could that be the problem in the 21st century westernized church? We're showing up every Sunday and leaving the same way that we came in because we came in for the wrong reason. Y'all ain't hearing me up in here. Jesus says, oh, how I wish today that, oh, God, and watch what he said. He said, today. He didn't just say, oh, how I wish. He says, oh, how I wish today. Could we just go ahead and prophesy into the earth realm that the Savior is saying to everybody in this building today, oh, how I wish today, that you of all people, he didn't say all people. Oh, y'all missing this. You of all people would understand the way to peace. But now, watch this, it is too late and peace is hidden from your eyes. He goes on and he says, before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. And they will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not, watch this, recognize it when God visited you. How many times was you getting ready to do something you know you shouldn't have been doing, and even though you was playing silly, God loved you enough to send somebody to tell you that you was being silly. And you decided that even though they had sent you a warning, God had sent you a warning, you were still going to do you anyway. How'd that work out for you? May I suggest that it is a tragic thing, watch this, to see the Savior but not recognize him for who he is. Can I say that again? It is a tragic thing to see the Savior but not recognize him for who he is. So he's supposed to be the Savior, but you see welfare. He's supposed to be the Savior, but we done made him bad relationship Cupid. Oh God, y'all not hearing me in here. He's supposed to be the Savior, but you've made him everything but the Savior. The crowds are crying out, Hosanna. On Palm Sunday, they were crying out, crucify him. I'm sorry, on Palm Sunday, they were screaming, crucify him. 1 week later, Palm Sunday, they're saying, Hosanna. 1 week later, crucify him. Ghetto theologian Too Short had a song that said, it was all good just a week ago. Lord help me. I promise I'm saved. The same people who was calling him the bomb, a week later was calling for his head. They had a brother by the name of Barabbas, who was, and they teach it to that he was a burglar or he was a criminal. But the reality is Barabbas was actually a radical. He was a radical. He was a rebel. He was somebody that was already going against the status quo, and he'd put his hands on you, And he said, who do you want to go free, the murderer or Jesus? And they said, Barabbas, but crucify Jesus. It was all good just a week ago. You wasn't asking me to be crucified when I was giving you your sight back. You wasn't asking me to be crucified when I was raising up your daughter from the dead. You wasn't asking for me to be crucified when I was doing everything that I was doing for you, when I was giving you game unlimited at the temples and the synagogues. But now all of a sudden, because I'm not coming to do what it is that you thought I was coming to do, and the kingdom that I'm bringing you, you find not good enough. Now it's, in fact, in Matthew 27, verses 22 through 23, Pilate said to them, he says, then what shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? And they all said, let him be crucified. And he said, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, let him be crucified. But what's he done? Let him be crucified. I need you to understand that they were the same people who just a week ago was calling him the Messiah. These are the same people who were saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. I also want to point out that the reason for him riding the donkey was not because he was broke. He was riding the donkey because the donkey represented peace. He could have rode in on a strong stallion. He could have rode in on a beautiful, strong white horse, but that would have indicated that he was coming for war. But he wasn't, baby. He was coming in peace. He was coming to lay his life down. And not only was he coming to lay his life down, he was coming to lay his life down for us. I want you to think about that for a second. He's riding on a donkey, and he's headed to his crucifixion on the strength of you, on the strength of me. And here's something that I just can't get past. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse number 8, we find the Apostle Paul saying, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I got to read this from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, but I want to read it to you in the Message Bible. And it says, Christ arrived, watch this, right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. You understand what I'm saying to you? He's not on the donkey saying, you can go a little slower because I'm trying to give the people a chance to get theyself together. No, no, no. He's not waiting on us to get ready. He presented himself for this sacrificial death, watch this, when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. Has he lied so far? Do you remember when he first stepped to you? Do you remember all the times he stepped to you? Do you remember the last time he stepped to you, but you was either too weak or too rebellious? And can I just go ahead and make it gender specific right there? Most times when you see the part that is too weak, it's because women can't let go of who they need to let go of so that they can do what they're supposed to do in him. And when we talk about rebellious, you're usually talking about men because, you know, we got to put in overtime. We ain't got time for God. We got bills to pay. We ain't got time for God. And ain't no man going to stand in front of me while I sit next to my wife and tell me how I ought to be living. No way. The devil is a lie. I look at this and I'm because he was too weak and too rebellious. And I know you ladies don't like that, but I just would like to ask you a question and maybe we can all get back on the same page and y'all stop looking at me like you're gonna jump me. But have you ever been weak before? And some of you are saying, yeah, but men have been weak too. And this is true, but we've been far more rebellious. In fact, can I just go ahead and be real about it? Nobody's going to join the church. It's the fact that the men be rebellious that make the women weak. And some of you will say, that ain't true. Let Shawty that's waiting on you at the crib get upset because you took too long. Bet you won't be back next week. I don't know what's going on with you over at that church. I don't know what he over teaching. But I'm going to tell you what, you ain't going to be walking up in here with that attitude. I don't know who. Then they get real petty, don't they? What you dealing with the preacher now? What's going on with the preacher? You know, he don't run this house. He don't pay no bills here. You don't either, dog. Let me stop because I'm going to ask some of y'all to join the church later on. Listen, he says this, and even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. Watch this. This is the part that blows my mind. He says, we can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for. And we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. Here it is. You ready? But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use to him whatsoever. Isn't that amazing? While we were of no use to him whatsoever, he put his love on the line and allowed his son to die. Who has ever loved you like that? I'll wait. Who has ever loved you like that? And if you can't find nobody, and you can't, we was talking about Keith Sweat last night, wasn't we? Nobody. Who's ever loved you like Jesus? Nobody. Oh, God, listen. Tracy, get a better poker face, baby. While we were of no use to him whatsoever. And you know why we were of no use to him? Because we were full of sin. So, Bishop, what if I'm still full of sin? He's still dying for you. It's done. And here's the awesome part about it. On the strength of what's a done deal, it produces fruit. You get to be a part of fruitfulness. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, while we were yet still sinners, that baby's anointed. While we were yet still sinners, he was dying for us. Amen. And if we would respond correctly to the death, well, how do you respond to the death? By dying too. It's your baby. You know why this baby is so vulnerable right now? How old is this baby? Because 7 months ago, he left Jesus.
That's right.
The Bible says, before I formed him in your womb, I knew him. And when the word knew, K-N-E-W, means intimately. I talked with him. He talked with me. My spirit abounded him. Yeah. Fruit on the donkey. Knowing he's about to lay down his life. Don't you ever get it twisted. Jesus didn't get killed. Nobody could kill Jesus. He laid it down. And his laying it down gives us the ability to be fruitful. We might have been drug dealers, but now we get to be fruitful. We might have been strippers, but now we get to be fruitful. We might have been drug addicts and alcoholics and women beaters and all of that, but now we get to be fruitful. Might have been promiscuous, and cats might have had a chance at something they should have never been able to have a chance at, but now you're fruitful. The Bible says it like this. It says, you who were once not even a people are now the people of God. We are now the people of God. So today, I want to encourage you to be fruitful. Amen. Let's give God.